All right, so today we're diving into a case that really gets to the core of contract law and what it actually means to agree to something. You know, picture this. You're starting a new job, you're excited, but all the paperwork's in a language that you can barely understand. Would you just sign anyway? Especially if it seemed like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
That's the exact situation at the heart of Morales v. Sun Constructors. This case went all the way to the Third Circuit Court of Appeals. And it's not just a simple contract dispute. It really highlights this tension that exists between making sure contracts are solid and protecting individuals who might be vulnerable.
So let's break this down. We have Juan Morales. He's a really skilled welder, but his English is limited. He gets this job with Sun Constructors, a pretty big construction company. Hmm? But get this. His orientation, all the paperwork, everything's in English. And we're talking a 13-page employment agreement here, including an 8-page arbitration clause. That's a lot of legal jargon to get through, even for someone who's a native English speaker.
Definitely. And it's important to understand what that arbitration clause really means. Essentially, by signing it, Morales was agreeing to give up his right to a trial by jury if any problems came up with his employer. Instead, anything that came up would be sorted out through private arbitration.
And to add another layer of complexity here, another bilingual applicant, Jose Hodge, is asked to help Morales with all the paperwork. Now, Hodge, he understands a good amount of English, about 85%, but he doesn't actually translate that super long arbitration clause for Morales specifically.
Yeah, that's a key detail in all this. While 85% fluency might sound okay for everyday conversation, when it comes to legal stuff with big consequences, even a tiny misunderstanding can have a massive impact.
Okay, so then fast forward 14 months, Morales is fired and he decides to sue. Sun Constructors, based on that agreement he signed, immediately tries to force the whole case into arbitration and out of the court system.
And what's interesting is that at first, the district court actually sided with Morales. They considered his limited English and the fact that he didn't really understand what he was signing, meaning there wasn't a true meeting of the minds, which is a crucial part of contract being valid. Basically, they were saying he couldn't really agree to it because he didn't understand it.
Which seems fair at first glance. But as we know, legal cases rarely stay that simple.
Right. And this is where things get really interesting. The Third Circuit Court of Appeals, they decided to overturn the district court's decision. They took what's called an objective viewpoint, meaning they focused on how things looked from the outside rather than what Morales himself actually understood. Their argument was that any reasonable person seeing a signature on a contract would just assume that means agreement, regardless of what was going on in that person's head.
But wait, doesn't that create a situation where companies could potentially exploit language differences? I mean, is a signature really enough to show genuine consent in these cases?
That's a really good point. And the court addressed it by bringing up the objective theory of contracts. Basically, this theory says that to keep the legal system consistent and predictable, we got to look at what's outwardly observable, the actual signed contract, instead of trying to figure out what each side might have been thinking internally.
So it's all about upholding what the contract actually says.
Yeah.
Even if the real meaning gets lost in translation.
You could definitely say that. And to back up their decision, the court also referenced some precedents, past cases like Coulter v. First USA and Howsam v. Dean Witter. In both those cases, the contracts were upheld, even when one of the parties didn't fully understand the language. The idea being that to maintain a stable legal framework, this objective way of looking at contracts needs to be the priority.
I'm still hung up on this idea that someone could be bound by something they didn't even fully understand. That doesn't seem quite right, does it?
Well, this is where a dissenting opinion in the Morales case throws a bit of a wrench into things. Judge Fuentes, in his dissent, makes a crucial point about the employer's responsibility when language barriers are involved.
Okay, I think this is where things get really interesting. Tell me more about this dissenting opinion.
Judge Fuentes argued that by asking Hodge to help translate, Sun Constructors took on a certain level of responsibility. They created this situation where Morales was likely to rely on Hodge's translation. Even if that translation wasn't completely accurate or full, he was basically saying that a translation that's incomplete can be just as bad as having no translation at all.
So he's essentially saying Sun Constructors had this duty to make sure there was genuine understanding, not just to get a signature.
Exactly. He suggested that they should have taken more proactive steps, like providing a professional translator or making sure the key parts of the agreement were explained clearly in Morales' native language.
Wow, that really adds a whole different perspective to this case. This clash between sticking to contracts as they're written and protecting people who might not fully get the language is definitely thought-provoking. I'm really curious to hear what implications this has for our listeners. But before we get into that, maybe we should take a quick break and then come back to unpack some practical takeaways from the Morales case.
You know, you're right that dissenting opinion really does add a whole other layer of complexity to this case. And it makes you think about some broader issues that go beyond just language barriers.
That's exactly what I was thinking. It's like this case also highlights those power dynamics you often see with contracts, especially in employment situations.
Absolutely. Think about it for a second. You have someone who really needs this job. Maybe they're facing financial pressures and stuff, and they're up against this big company with lawyers and all these resources behind them. There's this inherent power imbalance right there.
Yeah, and in that kind of situation, can we really say everyone's on equal footing when it comes to understanding and negotiating the contract?
That's the question, isn't it? This case really makes you think about this tension at the heart of contract law, the need for clear and predictable rules versus protecting people from agreements that might be unfair or even exploitative.
So on the one hand, we have the objective theory of contracts, which, as you explained, focuses on making sure the legal system runs smoothly and predictably.
Exactly. The idea being that if we start digging into what everyone individually understands or misunderstands about a contract, things could get super messy and unpredictable really fast.
But on the other hand, if we just ignore all the context and the potential for miscommunication and those power imbalances we talked about, then don't we end up with a system where contracts are basically being used to take advantage of people, especially folks who are already vulnerable?
That's the very core of Judge Fuentes's argument. He's saying we can't just blindly enforce every contract without thinking about the human element, the fact that there could be genuine misunderstanding and the responsibility of the side with more power to make sure things are fair.
It's almost like we need to find a way to even things out a bit.
Yeah.
But how do we do that without turning the whole legal system upside down?
That's the million-dollar question. And to be honest, there's no easy answer. But I think the Morales case, and Judge Fuentes' dissent especially, gives us some serious food for thought. It challenges us to think critically about how we can build a system that upholds the principles of contract law, but also upholds fairness and justice.
Okay, so let's shift gears a little here. What are some practical things our listeners can take away from all this? Let's say someone's facing a contract in a language they don't totally understand. What should they do? What red flags should they be looking out for?
The most important thing is don't ever assume anything. If there's something you don't understand, speak up. Ask for a full translation, a clear explanation, and get it in writing if you can. Don't let anyone pressure you into signing or dismiss your concerns. Remember, your signature is powerful. It means you're agreeing, you're consenting. So don't just give it away.
That's good advice. What about from the company side of things? What can companies do so they don't end up in a situation like Sun Constructors?
From a business point of view, it's really about being proactive and thinking long term. Yeah, providing translation services or explaining complicated legal terms in different languages might seem like an extra step, but it's really an investment to prevent future problems.
So you're saying that clear communication and making sure everyone genuinely understands, it's not just about following the law. It's actually good business practice.
Exactly. And it goes even deeper than that. It's about creating a workplace culture where everyone feels valued and respected, no matter what their language background is. It's about building trust, which ultimately benefits everybody involved.
This makes me wonder, are we putting too much emphasis on a signature as the be-all and end-all of an agreement, especially now? With digital contracts and online agreements everywhere, where just clicking a button can be legally binding. Shouldn't there be more ways to make sure people really understand what they're agreeing to?
You've got a point there. The Morales case, even though it dealt with a physical contract, raises questions that are even more important in the digital world.
It's true. We're seeing AI writing contracts now, and those click-through terms and conditions that go on forever, full of legal jargon most people wouldn't get. It feels like there's so much room for misunderstanding or even manipulation in those situations.
Absolutely. And that's where the law needs to step up and catch up. Cases like Morales v. Sun Constructors are pushing us to re-examine those fundamental ideas behind contract law. Things like consent, fairness, good faith, and to think about how they apply in this digital world that's changing so fast.
So we're kind of at a crossroads here. We need to decide what kind of legal system we want. One that focuses on just getting things done efficiently no matter what, or one that aims for both efficiency and actual justice.
And that's a conversation everyone needs to be involved in. Lawyers, business owners, and everyday people. We all have this responsibility to speak up for fairness, clarity, and understanding in all our agreements.
This deep dive into Morales v. Sun Constructors has really been eye-opening. It's a reminder that even something as simple as signing a piece of paper can have huge and lasting consequences, especially when language differences are involved.
It's a case that makes us ask some hard questions about what real consent means in different situations. What are the limits of how the law interprets things when it comes to what individuals actually understand? And ultimately, how do we define justice in a system that's always evolving?
Okay, so before we wrap things up, let's go back to that dissenting opinion in the Morales case for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned earlier that it might be important for other cases dealing with language barriers down the road. Can you say a bit more about that?
Sure. While the dissenting opinion didn't change what happened to Morales, it does offer a potential legal argument for others in similar situations.
Someone could actually use the Fuentes dissent as part of their defense.
They could, yeah. It could be used to back up the claim that there wasn't a true meeting of the minds, which, as we discussed earlier, is a must-have for a valid contract.
How would that work in a real case? What would someone need to prove?
They basically need to show that the other side, like the employer in Morales' case, should have known that there wasn't genuine understanding, that they knew about the language barrier and didn't do enough to fix it.
So it's not a guaranteed win kind of argument,
mm-hmm.
but it could be a useful tool in some cases.
Exactly. And that's where having a good lawyer is so important. Someone who understands all the ins and outs of contract law, who can look at the specific details of the case, and who can present that argument effectively in court.
This really highlights how crucial it is to be informed, to know your rights, and to seek legal advice when you need it. Knowledge is power, right?
Absolutely. Knowing your rights, understanding the potential problems, and having someone strong on your side to advocate for you.
Yeah.
Those are the key things for protecting yourself and making sure things turn out fairly.
Yeah, it really feels like this whole case is a wake-up call. It shows how important it is to be aware of these kinds of issues.
Mm.
Especially in a world where legal documents are just getting more and more complex.
And where technology is changing everything about how contracts work. We're already seeing AI-generated contracts, online agreements, those click-through terms and conditions that nobody reads. It's a whole new game out there, and the chances of misunderstandings, even manipulation, are huge.
So where do we go from here? Is the law even able to keep up with all these new challenges?
That's the big question, isn't it? The legal system, it's often slow to adapt to all the new technology and changes in society. But cases like Morales v. Sun Constructors, they're forcing us to take another look at those core principles of contract law, consent, fairness, good faith, and to figure out how they fit into this digital world that's changing so quickly.
What kind of changes do you think we might see in the future then?
Well, we might see some clearer rules, specific regulations about how to handle language barriers in contracts, especially in employment situations. Maybe more focus on using plain language in legal documents, making them easier for everyone to understand.
That would definitely be a good step. What about using technology itself to address these problems?
Oh, absolutely. We might see more use of technology for translation services. Or even make it mandatory to explain those arbitration clauses in plain language and in multiple languages. Imagine a system where before you click I agree on some online contract, you get a clear, simple summary of all the main points in your own language.
That would make a huge difference in making sure people really know what they're getting into before they agree to anything.
Right.
It feels like we're at this point where we have to decide what kind of legal system we actually want. One that just cares about getting things done efficiently no matter what, or one that tries to balance efficiency with actual justice.
Yeah, and that's a conversation we all need to be part of as lawyers, as business owners, as regular people just trying to navigate this complicated world. We all have a responsibility to speak up for fairness, for clarity, for understanding in all our agreements.
This deep dive into Morales v. Sun Constructors has been really insightful. It's a good reminder that even something as seemingly straightforward as signing a document can have massive ripple effects, especially when there are language barriers involved.
It's definitely a case that makes us think about some tough questions about what true consent really looks like in different situations and the limits of legal interpretation when it comes to individual understanding and ultimately how we define justice in a world that's becoming increasingly globalized.
So the next time you see that signature line, whether it's on a paper contract or an online agreement, remember Juan Morales. Remember how much power language has, the importance of truly understanding what you're agreeing to, and the need to stand up for yourself.
Yeah.
And for a legal system that's fair for everyone.
Because a signature should mean there's a real meeting of the minds, not just a blind leap of faith. Until our next deep dive, keep asking those tough questions, keep learning, and keep pushing for a legal system that's more just and equitable for everyone.